Committee on Rules Administration will come to order. Senator Vandeveer, resolution number 42, and I want to again apologize to Senator Vandeveer. I did check back, and I actually did say to you last year, well, we'll take that up in rules, and then it slipped my mind. I apologize, so.
Apology accepted, not a problem. Members, this Senate resolution is designed to kind of work towards ending the institutional partisanism at the Capitol, and I think whether this be the allocation method or something else, I think it's a good way to, I mean, if you ever had a group of kids in the Capitol building in the Senate chambers and tried to explain to them why the chairs are separate, why the Republicans sit in one place and the Democrats in another, it's a little bit difficult to explain to those kids. So I think the point is that I believe that the space should be, I think dividing it proportionally would, end at least the institutional appearance of partisanship, and maybe, we'd work together a little better than we already do. So that's the resolution and reasoning for it.
And you're also, it's not in the resolution, but your suggestion is that we consider even in the seating in the floor, do it differently.
No, I use it more as an example.
It's
the same basic concept that. Okay. So.
Thoughts by members?
Mr. Chairman, it would certainly change some of the dynamics in how we relate to each other. As it is now, when we're near our offices over in the state office building, we're near all Republicans, which we're making a cohesive group. That's an advantage. But as far as getting to know particularly new DFL members, maybe your caucus, it's a little more difficult. And I sometimes wonder which is the preferable office space, to be over here where everybody's all scattered all over from the ground floor up to the third floor, or in the state office building where we're all fairly confined space where we see each other
every day.
This is the advantage your caucus has, is you're close to committee meetings here and close to the chambers. The disadvantage we have is that we have a long walk over here.
Just for informational purposes, one of the things the majority caucus does is tries to, vice chairs, who are typically freshmen, get into the suites with their chair. And that's how we try to intermingle new and long-serving members. I'm not arguing that that's not a reason to do this. I'm just saying that there are attempts to intermingle, and it's a question of, do you want to intermingle among your own caucus, or is it better to intermingle the whole Senate? I'm personally agnostic, but I have to be a little careful because I'm sure some people have strong feelings about this in the caucus. Like, everybody sitting here, well, it would affect Senator Olson, Senator Frederickson. Senator Bakken probably wouldn't affect. Senator Metzen, it wouldn't affect. Senator Langseth, myself. But it definitely would affect first termers, at least, and probably first and second termers.
And it probably wouldn't affect me, so, being a first term. So,
what do members think?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure what you're talking about, what you're agreeing.
Well, I think what this would do is basically by seniority, there are so many offices in the Capitol, mm-hmm. and you basically by seniority would dole those out to the two parties based on seniority, and then when you ran out, everybody else is in the SOB. That's what, in effect, you're suggesting here.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if you pass my bill reducing the size of the legislature, there'll be plenty of room over here.
Just over here?
Oh,
your bill's at 56, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think we have about 46 offices.
Oh, Mr. Chair, there's more offices than that around here.
You'd move the staff out?
Well, I think there's a whole, I don't know that even the seniority way, that there's a whole different variety of ways that you could organize space, but there's a lot of space over in this building.
I know that sounds simple, but when we did get a few additional members, we had to create a couple offices. Just this last 2 years ago? 2 years ago.
A couple of rooms up on the third.
Yeah, we eliminated a department up there and added a couple offices. It's Key Lash and
Dahl.
Kevin Dahl. And they're pretty nice offices, actually. Sarah Bach, what do you think?
I was just thinking if Sarah Langseth would give us a little money to do our build-out out under the Capitol Mall here, there'd be plenty of room to build additional office space over here. But I don't know why he won't ever put that in his bill. I certainly would support it.
It would get vetoed.
Might not get vetoed by the next governor.
Is that plan for the Capitol? Would that bring all the members into the Capitol?
I think that was the plan.
Oh, the difficulty is the House doesn't like that.
The House doesn't have any.
Yeah, the House would then totally, yeah, they didn't like that.
Mr. Chairman, that's a long-range plan to take a lot of money.
Yeah, $250 million.
Yeah. Well, you just did $680. You did $1 billion. There's room in there.
Talk to the governor.
They're changing mores about this because it used to be everybody absolutely wanted to be in those offices right around the chamber. That's not what's going on anymore. Senator Bach chose not to be there.
Right.
Senator Metzen chose not to be there. But before, boy, that was it. You wanted to be there. Senator Langseth has chosen not to be there. That kind of went with when Miriam moved down there, people found out what beautiful office space that was.
Well, Senator Cohen's not there either.
Well, Senator Speer started that, I think, didn't he? I guess that was always the finance suite kind of down there. So we're left us down there.
Where the judges used to be. Those are very fine rooms.
Big, he and Vickerman big. Have probably the two most, at least the most woodwork. Senator Metzen, you've been around here. What do you think about Senator Vandeveer's idea?
It's something to look at. I understand. I was trying to add on to this a little bit, this conversation. Years ago, we'd, for example, at snowmobilers, the chicken growers, or all these groups that have little get-togethers, you know. And that's when we'd co-mingle, get together, and say, well, that Frederickson, he ain't such a bad guy. You know, and you'd move around a little bit that way. But now, and I understand it, but at the same token, the ethics stuff where, you know, for three chicken wings now, you're guilty, you know. And I don't know. I think that's part of it. A little bit what you're talking about, because we'd get together and visit, and now people won't go to those things. I think that fits in the discussion here. Get along.
Senator Vandeveer, what if we survey the members, and we can do a blind survey, and just kind of see what members on both sides think about this, because I would guess there would be some in your caucus who would say, no, we like all being in one place. Others would say, no, that's not what we need. I'm pretty sure I know what first and second term members of the majority will say. So let's say we did get feedback saying people think this would be a good idea long term, then we could perhaps say, look, no one's going to get kicked out of their office, but we are going to move to this over a number of year period. That's a possibility. Okay.
That would be fine, Mr. Chair. Okay. I think appreciate the discussion and great.
I've always wondered, Senator Bach.
Well, I think that sentiment of first-term members in the majority might be similar for first-term members in the minority, in that what you would end up with over in the SOB is a whole bunch of first- and second-term members, and they wouldn't have any kind of interaction with people with the institutional memories, which are. That whole mentoring process is really important to bringing you along when you're a new member. I just kind of wonder if both freshmen might be a little concerned about being distanced from the people that have a little more experience. Don't know.
Staff, too, if you think about it, you'd have a relatively new staff would probably all be over there, too. Now, maybe that foments revolution, which maybe is a good thing. Maybe all the freshmen would get together and say, this is nuts what we're doing here. But at least it would be bipartisan. Yeah. Right?
You just had to make sure there was less of them over there than there are here.
Overthrow us.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Vandiver would be leading the group.
Let's not carry this to extremes on the revolution party.
Well, you do. I'm guessing that many of the things you hear from your new members is not dissimilar to what we hear, you know, complaints about process, chairman. Because there is a, not generational, but there is a time of service difference here until you kind of figure the way place works out. And sometimes the way the place works isn't the way it should be, but it just is. So what if we survey? I was just going to say, Ms. Zoff or Mr. Watson, do you have an observation? And I thought, no, don't do it to him. Don't do it to him. But why don't, Senator Vandiver, what if we, let's survey the members. We're going to be here another month or two. This ultimately would be a decision made probably by the next group. Well, we could, as a group, kind of make a recommendation to them.
Mr. Chair, I would say if we need to make a change around here, we should allow House members in the Senate retiring them. I mean, I think that is elitism at its worst. We can walk in there. Of course, I'm a former House member, but, I mean...
You can't pass the rule. You can't go in there.
So that was retaliation.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we should...
But wait a minute.
Maybe we should get a deal going.
Senator Langseth, I'm shocked.
Just me?
You actually want...
I didn't see one of them in there, but I think we should.
No.
I'm pretty sure I know what the members would say about that.
I don't mind not going into the House.
You know, I love Tom Roccavina, but I don't want him in the Senate retirement.
Well, I didn't realize they had counters before.
Maybe we could change it that if they're a former senator that now serves in the House, we could allow
it. There'll be droves of them coming in.
Well, then if they reciprocated, you know, to a former House member that's now in the Senate,
it would be...
Nobody kicked me out.
They're scared of you.
Last time I was there.
That's good.
You control $1 billion.
Four years ago.
You ever been in the House retiring room?
No, I got kicked out.
No. I bet Keith could get in.
Jen, Senator Olson, you were not in the House.
Yeah, but you weren't.
I was in the retiring room before they changed their policy a few times. But
their policy was former members, so you shouldn't have been in there.
When did always?
Yeah.
There were a couple functions thing that they had reception. I didn't hang out over there.
Well, Senator Lang says, let's not move too quickly.
Okay. I didn't realize they had already retaliated.
I'm almost certain if we surveyed the members on that, what would come back. It is the one place where you get a little peace and quiet. And you do, I spend time talking with...
I took my grandchildren in there.
Don't tell us.
Was that against the rules?
Don't tell us that, Senator.
Don't cough for more than you...
Oh, there's a blank spot in the tape. 17 seconds or how many seconds?
Let's do that, huh?
Well, I'm not going to get Corey into this because I know what he's going to say.
Should I speak?
On Vandiver's proposal, you could if you want it.
I'm a junior member. I'll keep my mouth
shut. Well, do you have a thought on Vandiver's?
I don't.
Senator Vandiver's? So please go to the mic, though.
I actually was just bringing Chairman Langseth's glasses to him. That's the only reason I came in here.
You can't get in trouble for things you don't say.
But I guess I do have an opinion, and I you know what? I don't know what his proposal is, but I...
Sir, how can you have an opinion on
it?
He basically proportionally would like to put members of the minority and majority in the state capitol offices, mm-hmm. until you kind of run out of offices, and then you'd have minority and majority members in the SOB, mm-hmm. of the Senate.
You know, I guess if you were going to poll me, I'd say that I'd be in favor of that, but I'd actually be in favor if there was some way that we could have all the Senate members over here. And it's like Senator Metzen was saying, I think the more we can become friends, the less partisan this place is going to be. And it feels like we're almost isolated now, where when the majority party has to go to the floor, it doesn't take you very long to get there. We have to be moving. It's a little bit of a stretch to come over here. Jen, you know, Jen can get over here, but it's just, I think somehow if we ever remodel, it'd be nice if we could figure it out where all the members would be in the same building.
Mr. Chair, you know, in that proposal we had, that would have been the case, but
the capital proposal.
Okay.
The house wouldn't move
at all.
We finally just disbanded the committee because it wouldn't budge.
Mr. Chairman, I was on that committee too, and there was, over a space of a couple of years, quite a bit of work done in that proposal that would have resulted in all the members being here, but it also has a big price tag to it. Besides the additional space, would be upgrading of the environmental controls around here.
Right.
And a new entrance to the Capitol, or a visitor-friendly entrance, a lot more security. There was a lot of aspects.
Good work, yeah.
A comprehensive proposal.
Senator Lanks, I don't want to get anything started here, but it's like national health care. I think Mick Coleman was working on something similar to what Senator Lanks and others are trying to do, right?
35 years ago.
Yeah. So maybe you need to put that on your list of getting that done before you leave the Senate.
Within the next 35 years, then.
It might take that long. Well, I know you're going to finish the flood stuff, but you know, maybe you need to add this to your list.
Mr. Chair, he will outlive the building.
It's a question where he wants to
outserve the building. Yeah.
So, Sanjum, where we're headed here is we're going to survey the members to just, in a blind way, just to say, what do you think? Do you think what's being suggested by Senator Vandiver makes some sense? And then that would give us some direction as to whether we should try to pursue it as a group or not. What are your general thoughts? Do you think moving this direction might make some sense? Or because some of us in the majority think that perhaps some of your members think you should be in a group together so you can function and mentor each other. Whereas if you put all the senior members over here and all the junior members over there.
Oh, boy.
You don't have to.
No.
You can be on the blind survey, too.
I think it's worth talking about. I think, I think we've had discussions about would we all get along a little bit better if we were mixed up. Yeah, I think it's, as they say, have the conversation.
I got a bunch of buttons up in my room. Minnesota get along.
So why don't we, I don't think we need a motion on this, but my office, and there's no hurry on this, but we'll do it here in the next month or two. We'll survey members on this question, and also I think let's survey them on the question of should we mix up the seats on the floor, do it totally by seniority. Because I don't know, would your senior members do something different than you're doing now if they had the chance, do you think? I mean, think about that. I don't know if they would. I mean, you have a great seat. You probably don't want to change your seat.
I don't want to move.
The only reason you got that seat is because of the current system, you know. I always coveted that seat.
So don't take my seat.
Judge Knutson wouldn't give that up. And he wouldn't give it up because his father had sat in that
Who's
seat.
That? Knutson.
Yeah.
Well, why is Senator Fredrickson's seat any better than the one that I have?
Well,
what don't I know about your seat?
Well, you broke the mold because, you know, the tax chair seat is on the other side of the floor.
It's because his office was.
What was that? I thought your seat was Knutson's seat.
No, I think Denny's
is Dave's. Dick was in mine at one time.
No, I think at one time.
He's got Knutson's
yeah.
seat?
Yeah, I think that's the one that was powered.
When I came, the seat I have was at Ashbox.
Yeah.
Okay. And then David made a change by moving to the center.
Yeah.
That's something different from the minority. I didn't make too big a change because I just went, Roger had gone to that side, Nick Coleman had been on this side. I don't know, previous to Nick, where was that majority leader seat? Does anybody remember?
Mr. Chairman, Stan Holmquist led the majority from the front row.
Okay.
On the left side.
Really?
So I think second seat in from the center.
And what I hear is that Senator Coleman moved it back because had cameras come by that time or not? Or was that just cameras up in the gallery or something? He was a public relations person, Senator Coleman, so I think he probably figured he wanted He'd already want to see her, but I don't know why he did it, but. Okay, so we'll take a survey. Is that okay? Is that, that's not too big a step? Senator Vandeveer, would that be?
That works.
Okay, and just see how members think about that, so. Okay, thank you so much, Senator Vandeveer. Members, in your packet is a draft, SC 7672-1, and this is 150 pages of the governor's language from the bills that he has presented, and I think now have all been introduced. Senator Olson, your bill will be introduced tonight, I think. And we were able to grab that language. And what this does is it takes out the funding provisions related to the eight budget divisions and the tax committee that relate to budget cuts. So, for example, in the tax committee, it would not have the governor's proposal to reduce the corporate tax because that's not a cut. This would only have the cut provisions out of his tax proposal. And same with the other eight budget divisions. That's the cleanest example I can think. And the budget, this sheet then lines up articles so that there's apples to apples here. And it's very, very close except for one item. And there's a footnote on this. In the governor's $208 million cut, this is just now the funding divisions. In that $208 million cut, he has a $9 million, it's that double-starred footnote, he has a $9 million unspecified reduction to state agencies. And so it's included here in his total, but some of that applies to human services and perhaps the revenue department, which would not necessarily be in the Senate file, because it's unspecified. The reductions are unspecified. So that's the only area where it's kind of like, all right, what are you going to do? And the idea was to leave that $9 million unspecified here because it's carried in his State Department bill. So that's why the 208.5 and the 207.8 are slightly different. It's just, it's hard to make that apples to apples. So the choice at this point was to put it in the spot where it was carried in his bill. But otherwise, this is very close, staff tells me, to apples to apples. And as you can tell, we're not dissimilar except for in a couple areas. One is obviously on the tax one, he's got significantly larger reductions to local aids. And we have a larger reduction, or the Senator Cohen's bill has a significantly larger reduction in public safety and a smaller reduction in economic development. And I'm told, I mean, everybody can get into those discussions, but I'm told that's the economic development one is because the governor took a bunch of one-time money out of the Doug Johnson Fund and some other one-time things, and our finance committee chose not to do that. That's why that number looks significantly different. I think the public safety number is the most significant difference other than the local aids one. So the idea here was to try to line things up apples to apples, and then Senator Sundin, what I was thinking of doing was offering, perhaps someone in the minority would, but if not, I would offer this as an amendment to the Cohen bill on Monday, and then take a vote on a delete all to the Cohen bill, and then we would have a straight up vote on the governor's proposal.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, you're covering just the first 11 articles, but you've, in this...
Does not include human services, does not include K-12.
Right, but what about all the unallotment ratification? Are you, what's comparable in your bill for that?
Nothing right now. That's a separate, Mr. Watt, that's a separate item that will be considered separately. It's not part of the cut bills that Senator Cohen is dealing with right now.
So, Mr. Chairman, you're going to just take the first 11 articles then of this bill to match up with the Cohen one, not this whole thing.
No, this whole thing, but only the pieces that relate to apples to apples. I would like to vote on the rest of the governor's proposals, too, also. So when we get to the human service piece, which will be the next chunk, then we should take the governor's human services pieces out of his bills and match those up.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
and then when K-12 comes, which is the bulk of the unallotments, we could line those up.
So, Mr. Chairman, if you're not going to ratify the unallotments, what are you going to do? What's your proposal to dealing with the, what, $2.7 billion of cuts that were a part of the unallotment if you're not going to ratify them?
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to make.
Mr. Mossman, could you join us? Because apparently in the governor's out years, the unallotment is included here, but it's not in our proposal. So the portion of unallotments that deals with these budget areas is in the governor, is in the governor's numbers here. Mr. Mossman, why don't you just explain what, is that correct, what I just said?
Chair and Senator Olson, what's here, the intent, as I understand it, was to line up all of the budget-related proposals in these budget areas. So this, what's included both in the draft language of SC 7672 is all of the governor's budget items in higher education, which in this case would include his proposed budget items to extend the unallotments into the tails period. And those, the Senate in Senate File 3223 was not making any proposal with regard to those unallotments. So there is nothing in Senate File 3223 on those items. So it is all of the Senate's budget proposal in higher education relative to all of the governor's budget proposal in higher education, for example.
So, Mr. Chairman, that's what you're referring to as apples rather than the governor's proposal is essentially doing something different than what you are doing. And I'm just saying, if you were really going to match that up, what is the Senate majority proposing that accommodates, that is a counter to that?
In the area of higher ed.
You've tried to match.
No, in that, Senator, so maybe. In the area of higher ed, I think this is what we're proposing. We don't intend to propose anything else in higher ed.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you were attempting to match the governor's numbers in those eight areas. Then why? But you're not attempting to match the tails that are achieved through his proposal and the ratification of the unallotment for the 12-13. So I'm not sure, I'm not understanding how you can compare, say that it's comparing apples to apples. Because it's not.
So would you like to take, we don't, as far as I know, there is no intent. Should we just take higher ed as an example?
It's not me.
Governor was at 53, we're at 48 for 10 and 11. The Cohen bill.
I don't
bill.
Care about that.
The Cohen bill is at 99 in the out years. The governor is at 305 in the out years. I don't believe there's going to be a further Senate proposal by Senator Cohen to go beyond the 99. I don't believe there is going to be one. So what I meant by apples to apples is this is a complete picture of what our intent is to do in higher ed right now, or Senator Cohen intends to do in higher ed. The reason this is a draft is I'm trying to get a sense of if you think that's a fair way to do this or not.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just trying to wrap my head around it, so I'm not ready to make that.
And we're not going to act on this right now. I wanted to get this out so you could think about it. And
Mr. Chairman, with your discussion about higher ed, then, how does Article 14 play into that discussion?
Article 14. I'd have to ask. What, I don't know, Mr. Mossman. Article 14 must be the governor's.
Sure. Mr. Chair and Senator Fredrickson, that's correct. The governor, as you know, proposed, had actually 11 budget bills, if you will. There was the 10 budget bills plus a separate bill for the unallotments. So in pulling the draft document together, the unallotments, rather than folding them into one higher education bill, which would have changed the numbers and maybe made it more difficult to see the governor's language in the two areas. The Article 1 is the governor's budget language from the higher education bill that was introduced, and Article 14 is the higher education unallotment provisions from the unallotment bill that was introduced. And that's the same as you go through the other areas, because those were separated. They're in two places.
Chairman, Mr. Mossman, the article that came out of the higher ed committee, how does that article deal with the unallotment ratification, or deal with the unallotment?
In, Mr. Chair and Senator Fredrickson, in Senate File 3223, there is the reductions taken in Senate File 3223 would extend as permanent reductions of $99.5 million into the tails. There would be, the unallotments are not addressed in any other way in that document in that bill, so that the impact on the tails would be the $99.5 million. If it's helpful, the way I think it would work is that the appropriation, so if you look at the $48 million in appropriation reductions that are taken in Fiscal 10, and those are permanent reductions, those would be reductions to the appropriations. So Senate File 3223 reduces the appropriations. The unallotments for Fiscal 10 and 11 would still hold. So those unallotments would be on top of the reductions made in Senate File 3223, but the unallotments would continue to be one time. They would not extend into the tails as a result of this bill in Senate File 3223.
Obviously, the governor has taken more out of the tails than Senator Cohen's bill under this scenario, under this. And in the budget subcommittee of the fiscal policy and planning, I've continually asked Commissioner Hansen, how do you want to do this? And he keeps saying, our proposal is to just continue the unallotments permanently. So it seems to me this is the way they want to do this. But, you know, I'm hoping they'll review this, too, before Monday. But, Senator Sundrum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for anybody that can help me. So, for instance, higher education at 53.3 on the governor's column for 10-11. Does that include an unallotment amount? Does not?
Mr. Chair and Senator Sundrum and members, we budget, of course, to forecast. So the November forecast already reflects the unallotment actions that the governor took in July for fiscal 10 and 11. So those actions are already incorporated into the forecast for 10 and 11. So in the governor's proposal, he proposes to reduce, sticking with higher education, he proposes to reduce higher education by an additional $53.3 million on top of the unallotments that have already been made. So the way to read this is that Senate File 3223 proposes to reduce higher education appropriations, higher education appropriations by $48 million, and that also would be on top of the unallotments that are already taken. The difference, the issue with the unallotment ratification proposal is that with one exception in the health and human services area, but for all of these areas, it only affects the tails, because the unallotments for fiscal 10-11 are already reflected in the forecast. So if you ratify them, they won't change the forecast for 10 and 11, they will only change the forecast planning estimates for 12 and 13.
Mr. Mossman, you want to stay home Sundays thinking about this?
Yes.
I'm going to need a Sunday or two.
Just so you know, I was not overly involved. They just said, what are you trying to do here? And I said, I'm trying to get an apples to apples with the governor's proposal. So we have to remember Senator Sinjum, who needs to think about this a little bit. I think from the staff level, they think this is pretty close to apples to apples. I'm also going to, we're going to call Commissioner Hansen. I'll say, this is here. Is that a fair representation of what you guys are trying to do? He's just been adamant that the governor's intent is to make the unallotments permanent. I've asked numerous times. That's going to be most startling or most dramatic when we do the K-12 one.
I guess, Mr. Chair, I guess what I'm, the difficulty I'm having is that we're trying to solve this biennium's budget.
That's the 10-11 line.
We're not really trying to, I mean, that's, I guess my mind wants to separate that from what we do for 12 and 13. And that is not.
That, Senator Olson, that's not actually the way I work with the Finance Committee. Matter of fact, we had to go back and say to both the Finance Committee and the Tax Committee, no, we're talking permanent cuts. We've tried to minimize. There is some one-time money in here.
I like it now.
But they've done a pretty good job minimizing that.
Well, but that to me is what the comparisons then between the two proposals, I think, still need to focus on the one biennium, because that's the one we're trying to solve. And I think where we're having a more of a struggle is trying to wrap the head around the fact that what the governor has done in relation to what's being forecast is going further than what you are. So if maybe we're asking where is the Senate? Where is the Senate in terms of achieving the same level in the out years? What have you got? It's 1,003 versus 193. What are your answers there if you don't intend to? And that's achieved through that ratification. And that's where it isn't, to me, it isn't apples to apples. If and I don't know, maybe you can't do that separating this biennium, but most of our focus, as we talk about, this biennium is what we've got to solve now, unless we get the court case dumping the whole thing back and we've got a bigger thing to solve. And it kind of appears that if you don't support the ratification, then do you have a plan for the 2.7 now? That clouds, huh? Pardon me?
I'm guessing we'll find out more about that when we get to the K-12 section. Because I'm telling you straight up, I don't believe there are 34 votes in the state Senate to make that long-term reduction to higher ed. We're done here. There's no intent to come back with another set of bills here. And obviously, human services in K-12, which is 70% of the budget, is where the real action is. And our intent is to get to that human service once we can get this GAMC bill out of here. And if Senator Ortman isn't able to stop the federal action, we'll know hopefully by next week what it is we're dealing with from the federal level on human services, then we can set a target there. But there's big pieces in play at the federal level here.
No, and I understand that, Mr. Chairman, but I'm still looking at...
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said Senator Ortman. I was just being a little... I apologize.
Is the resolution of the 20... The different approaches that the governor has taken for solving this biennium's challenge, and what and between that and what the Senate is, and how that is, I mean, I think it's legitimate to point out whether what aspect of that one or the other is one time versus permanent. Those are, I think, appropriate. But I think if you're trying to communicate something, and not only within our group, but to the public by this exercise, it certainly has to be understandable. And I think that is what's, at least in my mind right now, that's what's clouding it.
Senator Wilson, we're trying to make it as understandable as possible. I believe it is fair to say that there are not going to be 34 votes in the state Senate to go to a $305 million cut to higher ed in the out years.
Well,
I just believe that's not going to happen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's why I'm. That's another issue. That's another issue.
When Senator Cohen was told he does have to deal with the tails, because at least since I've been a majority leader, and as long as I dealt in the Budget Committee with Senator Moe for years, the discussion always was you look out to the out years. Always. And there has always been, and Senator Cohen's term, he's always been in the position of you don't have to set an out years target, you just have to say it better be bigger than this biennium's target. Because we're trying to eat away at the out years situation. And we all know we're facing a $5 to $8 billion problem. And what the governor can say is, I'm doing $200 million more on that problem in the higher ed area than you guys are. That is absolutely factual. And he can say in he can say in taxes, I'm doing nearly $1 billion more. Well, $900 million more in the out years than you are. He can absolutely say that and take credit for that. I think he wants to. I mean, that's why I kept asking Senator or Commissioner Hansen, is that really what you want to do? And he said yes. So, okay. I just know, I don't think Senator Bach is ever going to send a bill to the floor that takes $1 billion out of aides and credits in the out years. Right?
I don't plan to vote for it. I don't know if somebody else can.
So why don't members look at this right now? My intent would be to have it offered as an alternative to the Senator Cohen's bill next Monday. Perhaps open tomorrow the Rules Committee if there are some suggestions on how to frame this up. This looks like a pretty good cut at it right now, but I'm absolutely open to other ways to consider this. And obviously, somebody should look through the draft to make sure that it does represent a fair assessment of what the governor's proposal is. And we'll contact Commissioner Hansen and ask him to look at it. I'm guessing they already have, but we'll ask him to. We will. I'll do the good. Senator Sinjin.
Mr. Chair, I would just say I think unless and until we can see the budget in its entirety, and that's K-12. The local aides and so on. You know, it's hard to cast a partial vote, I think, in a budget. Looking forward, we may want your side may not want to go back to any one of these categories, but others might. Once we see the reality of the other side. I just think it's going to be a problem when we bring it to the floor. I mean, if we had budgets in its entirety, both sides, that would be helpful.
Senator Sinjin, we normally don't do it in this big a package. Normally we have the higher ed bill all by itself. So there's more flexibility here than we've ever had on the Senate floor. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, that actually brings up another question I had, and that's single subject is this constitutional as it's structured?
Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, the single subject stated in the title is the financing of state government. Makes appropriations and reductions in various areas.
So
I think we've done this in the past. We've sent omnibus bills like this to the government. Usually in the off years, that's what you do. There's been years where we've had everything in one bill. Senator Cohen, isn't that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Now, what's unique about this, not so unique, but we're getting there, there's Senator Cohen, I don't believe there's policy. This is all budget stuff, right? There's no just free-flowing policy stuff in your bill?
That was the intent, yes.
Senator Bach, I think your bill is like that also, or is there some separate policy stuff in your piece?
There is one little piece for the city of Houston who had a population of three people over 1,000 on the date that was used for census. So they ended up with LGA cuts, but their real population is actually less than the 1,000, depending on what date you use for the census. But it doesn't spend any money, just move some money around in FY11 to acknowledge the fact that they don't have a thousand people right now, and they shouldn't have gotten the LGA cut. But that's the only real policy.
And the where we're headed with the House is, I think they so far have pretty clean bills except for one, and it's our understanding that they intend to clean the policy out of that bill. Wouldn't surprise you to know it's State Department's.
Tradition.
But the idea here, there'll be a five-member conference committee between the House and the Senate. I believe Senator, I mean, obviously, this decision's by the full Senate, but I believe Senator Cohen and Senator Bach will be on it, and then we'll have to have three more members. And then we would use kind of the working group thing on the side with the various chairs talking to each other to conclude their pieces. Because the idea is to get this bill, assuming this bill passes both the House and the Senate on Monday, we would try to appoint the conference committee, maybe even on Monday, and they need to get this bill back to us before the Easter Passover break. So they'd have 4 or 5 days to conferee this. And I'm optimistic because Senator Bach and Representative Lincheski seem to be a lot closer than most of us thought they would be.
We're a third of the bill, Mr. Chairman.
And we're a lot closer than we all thought you would be.
Even though they have all the money, they're a third of the bill.
See, Senator Olson, the tension between taxes and finance, it's always there.
Chair, are we going to meet tomorrow?
I think if that would make sense, I mean, if there are some suggestions to change this, we certainly could do that as a group. I'm just trying to do this in an open process. Again, my intent is to offer it as a delete everything, but I'm trying to do it in a way where everybody feels they know what's in there, they've had a chance to study it, consider it. My simple intent is, as I mentioned earlier, was that during the 81-82 situation, it seemed like it was a necessary condition to vote on the governor's budget before you could put together bipartisan votes on the rest, on the legislative budget. It just seemed like you had to do that so that people couldn't say, well, I'm there, but if only you did what the governor did. And just somehow you got to kind of eliminate that. If the votes are there to do the governor as an alternative to Senator Cohen's bill, then I think that's what we should do. Senator Cohen, would you prefer it to be the governor's proposal then rather than yours, or you're not sure?
Well, I'll study it.
Okay.
So you would be the author then.
Well, I don't know. That could happen, Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chair, do you have any help to the minority with some votes?
On which piece now?
On the governor's bill?
I don't know.
34.
Yeah, we will ask our caucus if any of them are willing. And I can tell you ahead of the vote whether there are any votes. They have an opportunity to look at this, too. You know, I'll be real direct. Members in our caucus are not all, there are not going to be more than 34 votes for Senator Cohen's bill. I mean, there may be 37. There are not going to be 46 votes for Senator Cohen's bill. I guarantee you that. Now, we would like, if you had a few votes for Senator Cohen's bill, that would certainly make my life easier.
Let's see, are we going to take a poll on whether we want to make
Senator
Goldmiller's life easier?
You're going to lose that one.
That's what we're all about.
Senator Bach. Bach and Aaron Cohen are voting for it. We know that.
Mr. Chairman, counsel reminded me that Senator Scoy put an amendment on the tax amendment to Senator Cohen's bill this morning that moved a date in the Green Acres.
Oh, yeah, so that's policy.
Really needed to be moved. I think everybody agrees on that. from, I think, May to like August. And we just wanted to tuck it in a safe place. We're not certain there's going to be another tax bill. And then he also, in his amendment, in the 2008 tax bill, we created an LGA study group that is due to report by December. And there was some feeling that there's not a lot for them to study right now, considering the current status of LGA, the uncertainty of it. So the amendment also simply moved the date on the LGA study group from 2010 to 2012. So it's just a date change. So there are two date changes.
So as far as you know, that's pretty much the policy.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you for giving the heads up on that. I should mention, too, for full disclosure, I was tempted to get that bill sent to the Rules Committee but you had already appointed that committee, that task force.
Yes.
So I thought, got by last year, we'll let it go. You just don't want the committee on committees to appoint stuff, do you? You just want to appoint these people.
Wasn't a new committee we appointed.
You snuck it in last time. We never got a shot at it.
Way back in 2008.
Is it that far back? You have good people on that?
Senator Scoy is the chair. I think they've only met once. Once or twice.
Senator Cohen would never do that.
Senator Sundrum is on that committee, I believe.
Is he? But was he drafted, or did you? Did he want to be on it?
I asked him to be on, and he graciously said yes.
Senator Bach, I guarantee you, the Senate Finance Chair would never try to avoid the Rules Committee by appointing a task force or commission in his own committee. They always refer their stuff here, so you're the only one who gets away with that.
Chairman, in 2007, my tax bill came to the Rules Committee and ended up vetoed by the governor.
All right, time to go home.
All right.
So we'll get together. Can we pick a time for tomorrow? What would be a good time tomorrow?
Let's get
before noon.
Session tomorrow too or not?
No.
Hopefully not. Or maybe.
No, we're not gonna.
What do you mean maybe,
Mr. Chairman? Are members here tomorrow afternoon? I'm just looking.
No.
So Monday morning. Well.
You got a campaign, don't you?
What's time? Let's pick a time.
My own Senate district. My own Senate district.
David, when are you here tomorrow? 2 o'clock. Who's ever here?
For Rules Committee.
Yeah. Are we gonna have enough people here? Are you still here, David?
Not sure. Later in the afternoon, we're here
at all tomorrow, David.
Not for me.
In the morning, I'm here.
Morning.
Anytime.
Morning.
In the morning.
5 All right, that's enough.
How about 10 o'clock?
I can have
Are you here at 10:30? Why don't we try 10:30?
Okay.
Okay.
Looking for me, but I
need to.
Put it in your pocket.